As is always, this sermon series and hundreds of more others will be on www.lifegatechurch.com. And if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church, and you'll find us there. So glad you're here. It was 30 years ago I shared my first sermon in this city, 30 years ago today. I had arrived, Judy and I, my daughter, Bonnie, we had arrived in town the night before, stayed with Don and Sheila, and Joy, you'll probably remember it, but we were singing, and you opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a big surprise, and I think they did, I think they really didn't know what had come to town. But it was 30 years ago today that I preached the first sermon in our city. So anyway, in our area, okay, let's put it area, because we're just not a city church. We're, you know, we have a lot of people coming from north and south, so that's great, that's great. All right, well, we are talking about the creative power of words, and I want to show you something that I think is extremely important as to what Jesus said about the creative power of your words. So let me read this to you. I'm going to read it from the King James Version because that's the one that we're most familiar with, and that's how you hear preachers quote it and say it. So it's in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. It says, "For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words," your words, "thou shalt be condemned." So your words create your justification or your condemnation. Now, what's he talking about, though, in the context here? We'll pick it up a little bit better from the NIV version, which is the translation I usually attempt to use if I can. But in same verse says this, "For by your words you will be acquitted." Now, so what we're talking about when we're talking about an acquittal, we're talking about a judge, we're talking about a jury, we're talking about being on trial. What we're talking about here is, and Jesus in his context is talking about your judgment, your final day, your last day judgment. So he says here, "By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So what I want you to see here is that you create your eternity with your words. Now, I want to make sure we see something, so put that back up there for me just a second, make sure I point something out. Is it by what condemns us? What is it that condemns us, or what is it that acquits us, or what is it that justifies us? Your words, not your sins. Don't mishear me. Don't mishear me. I believe you can send yourself into hell and never say a word. But I want you to see the enormous creative power that your words have. They'll create your day, your future, your destiny, and your eternity, created by your words. Now, last time, we talked about how words are carriers. The definition of it is they carry the definition. Words carry the definition or the meaning. And we saw that last time, not only do they just words, sounds, they literally carry the definition or the meaning of your life into your future. We saw this from James. Your words carry out into your future, to your destiny, either a blessing or a cursing. And I want to read a portion, just a tiny portion, of what we read last time to spring off of it and to continue the thought that we developed last time. But again, from the King James Version, because I like how it says it. In James 3:10, it says this, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing." Now, I want you to hold on to that, because that's really where I'm going today. Out of your mouth comes your blessings. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. So out of your mouth comes blessings and cursings for your life. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, what we noted is that James was not talking about blessing and cursing other people. In his context, he's actually talking about how our words bless and curse our own selves. With our, and he gave us two analogies of this. And the first analogy that he gave was the analogy of a horse's bit, and how a horse's bit is put into the horse's mouth to turn the whole animal. See, your words turn your life. If you don't like the direction that your life is going, then turn it with your words. And he also said this. He says, the horse obeys the bit. by it, the rider controls the horse. The horse obeys that bit. See, hear me. This is so powerful if you can get it. Your life obeys your words. Where your life goes and what your life obeys is the words you speak. And the other analogy that he gave us was the rudder of a ship. A little tiny small rudder can direct a huge large ship. So, and he says it goes wherever the pilot wants to go. What your words do is they navigate your life. Your words, you use your words to navigate life. And you use your words to set your compass course where you want to go, to the port you want to land in. And you do it with your words. And we talked about that last time, but I just needed that just kind of set up what I want to do and where I want to go with today. He said there, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. And I ask you to hold on to that word, that thought there, blessing, because that's what we want to talk about today. How do we bless our lives? How do we do it? So what I want to do is take that word, and I want to ingest it. I want to take it and dissect it somewhat. I want to look at the meaning in the Greek, and then I want to break it down somewhat. And hopefully you'll go out of here with four thoughts about the words you speak and the power and the creativity that they bring into your life. So let's take a look at that word in the Greek. It's the Greek word, logia, and what it means. And I'm going to give it three layers. I'm going to read it first, and I'm going to come back to it. And the first layer says, the definition is praise, commendation, high praise. Then the second layer is fine discourse, polished language. And then the third layer of it is an invocation of blessing. Now, while that's up there, here's what I want you to first of all get. Here's the first thought that I want you to leave out of here with, is that every one of those layers, all three of those layers, involve spoken words. Sounds coming out of your mouth, terms that you're saying, words. So here's the thought that I want you to get, that a blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken. A blessing is not a blessing until you put it into words. Thinking it's not enough. Believing it's not enough. A blessing is not a blessing until you put it into words. All right, now, the second thing I want us to see here in this is that when we bless, what we do is we give praise, commendation, and high praise. Now what we're talking about doing here is giving exaltation to someone or something. Then the second layer of the definition was it's fine discourse, polished language. So when we're given blessing, We're giving words that are pre-thought. We just don't throw words out there. We've pre-thought these words. We've shined them up. We've polished them. They're fine discourse. We've given it a lot of thought as to what we're going to say with our mouths and with our tongues. And then the third layer of it is invocation of blessing. We're invoking something. We're summoning something. We are inviting something. We're asking something. We're petitioning something to come. Now, that's what the word means in those layers, and those four things that I want to talk about are from those three layers that we're looking at. Now, what James says is that from that statement that out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. So out of that mouth, so looking at that word, how we see that he's talking not about blessing or cursing someone else. He's talking about blessing or cursing our own lives. So how does that figure in? How does that roll out into me? How does that roll out into what I want to work into my life? How does that work? Well, I think, how do I make a blessing for my life? I think I can get it started by just asking you this particular question, this one question here. How difficult is it for you to bless your own life? How difficult is it for you to praise your own self? How difficult is it for you to commend your own self? You know, a commendation service is a big ceremony. I mean, they make a big deal of it. You know, bands and all the announcements and message and sermons and speeches and things that are going on in a commendation service. It's a big thing. How difficult is it for you to give yourself high praise? You know, and it's so difficult, isn't it? You know, people would say, "Well, I can't do that. I'll be arrogant." Would you be? I can't do that. You see, I'm boasting. Exactly. Because what James said in talking about how the winds blow the ship, he says it drives the ship. Drives the ship in the direction that ship needs to go. See, boasting will destroy you and push you in the wrong direction. But boasting done correctly will drive you in the correct direction and cause you to even get there faster. We got to learn how to create the boast of our mouths so that the winds will be created that will drive us forward. I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. But see, remember that a blessing is not a blessing unless it's spoken, unless it's put into words. And the way you bless your life is by giving yourself high praise. The way you're going to bless your life is getting some fine words about yourself, about polishing up some language about you. The way you bless yourself and invoke things to happen in your future is by somehow learning how to correctly praise yourself, how to correctly put some words out there into your future. And so this is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how do we do this? You know, how do we do this word stuff? How do we make these things really happen in our lives the way that we can and use our words to really do a creative thing in our lives rather than a destructive thing in our life? So I want to ask you one more question though while I'm on this thought. The way you bless your life is with your words. Now, this thought here is, are you worth high praise? Do you feel you are worth high praise? Do you feel you are worth some fine discourse? How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel you are worth some polished language? And you say, this is where so many people, and even Christians especially, I think, have a difficult time here. Because we're taught not to sound arrogant. We're taught not to boast about ourselves. We're taught, well, that makes you sound conceited. That makes you sound vain. And so, are you worth it? I want you to know you are. I want you to know you are worth it. And what we've all got to learn how to do is to form this and to cause this to become what we really want it to become in our lives. See, I can't do that, Delbert. I can't say those things about me in public. Well, two thoughts I want to give you. First of all, is who said you got to do it in public? Right? I mean, hopefully you've got a prayer closet that you can go to when you pray and you can say those things and a praise to God. And I'll show you that's a great way to do it here in just a moment. Or maybe you're in your car, you're driving to work or wherever that you're going, you're alone. Well, then praise yourself. I can't do that. That sounds so wrong, Delbert. I know it does, but stick with me. Because you see, this a blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken. You know, get out in the woods. Polish up some words for yourself. Think about some words for yourself. Put them in your head, and then when you get alone, say them. Put a blessing out there for you. And this is what I really want us to see, because a blessing is not a blessing until we say it. Oh, I don't know, Delbert. I don't know about that. Well, see, this is what David did. And I really want to draw from this thought, because to me, this is just amazing here. David, if you've been around our church very long, King David, we've heard this particular verse, and actually we took it and developed it into the course that we have here of personality and temperament course. Anyway, David did something that's absolutely amazing here, and I really want you to see it. It's in Psalms chapter 139, begin reading at verse 13. For you, speaking of God, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Now, stop right there. Now, what's David doing? What's he doing right here? What does he say he's doing? I praise you. He's praising the Lord, right? Okay, let's make sure that we get this. I praise you because here's why I'm praising you. Watch this. Because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. What has he just said about himself? Did he just polish up some words for himself? Did he just give himself some high praise? Did he just give himself some fine discourse? Did he just commend himself? He said, I am a masterpiece. I am special. I am wonderful. I am wonderfully made. Now watch what else he says here. Your works are wonderful. And I know that full well. I know I am something special. I know I am wonderful. I know very well how hot I am, how wonderful I am, what a unique piece I am. Now, can you do that? Was David setting a blessing out there for himself? Do you think he was? He goes on here. And he says, my frame, now hold on to this thought because this is pretty serious here. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. God, you had everything to do with me before one of them came to be. Now, was David being arrogant? Or was David getting his mouth lined up with what God said about him and how God created him? So what I want you to see, what I really want you to see today, is that you're not going to get the blessings that you want. The dream that you want to come true won't come true. You won't invoke the blessing into your life until you can get your mouth lined up with what God says about you and speak how God sees you. Listen, it's in praise that David did this. David wasn't being arrogant. David was praising God for how he was created, how God created him, how God used him, how God put him together. And I think this is one of the main things that we all need to learn is that when we boast correctly, when we do a praise of ourselves correctly, when we high praise ourselves, when we commend ourselves correctly, when we have fine discourse about ourselves, when we polish up words about ourselves, we're not boasting. And listen, don't be concerned about boasting. Be far more concerned about getting your mouth lined up with what God says about you. And we would learn so much if we could just get that thought. If we could just understand that a blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken, and it's spoken with high praise, it's spoken with commendation, it's spoken with polished words, it's spoken out there with a fine discourse. I'm going to talk well about myself. I'm going to think well about myself. I want to read that to you from a different translation, the New Living Translation. I was reading and I ran across this one, and I said that's really good. I want to talk about that one. So it says, only verse 14, Psalms 139. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Now, how many of us husbands would agree that our wives are complex? Now, you might not add that wonderfully complex to there, but they are, because God made them wonderfully complex, but so are you. Listen, you are not just average Ojo. There is nothing ordinary about you. You've got a unique fingerprint. It's all yours. People can identify you by one finger. It's your finger. Your jawbone and teeth structure are uniquely yours. No one else has your teeth structure. Your retina layout is unique. No one's ever had or has will ever have your retina layout. Your DNA is different from anyone who's ever lived on this planet, lives now, or will ever live on this planet. You are unique. No one is like you. No one will ever be like you. In the dark place, in the secret place, God put you together specifically to be you. It took thousands and thousands of years to create you. Thousands and thousands of people had to come together so that you could come out. There is nothing ordinary about you. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. What if we were able to really think about that? What if we were able to really put that together? And what would that do for our self-esteem? What would that do for our self-worth? I'm happy. I'm wonderful. I'm awesome. I don't know if you've ever met Nancy Kittle or not, but you ought to. If you go up to Nancy Kittle and you ask Nancy Kittle, "Nancy, how are you?" What do you always say? "I'm awesome." So I no longer go up and ask her. I just say, "Hello, awesome." Don't I? Listen, you are awesome. You are amazingly created and amazingly put together. And David says, "I know this real well. I have learned this." And what we need to learn is this. We need to learn how awesome. I'm happy. I'm awesome. I'm wonderful. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I'm prosperous. I'm wealthy. Now, it may not be while you're saying it, but what you're doing is you're putting something out there for a blessing. You're changing the direction of your life. You're setting the course. You're compassing your life so that you will be. And this is what, you know, and some of you women, you have never, ever said, probably most of you women, have never, ever said, "I'm beautiful." You're so focused on your flaws, and you wish you had a little more this and a little less that. And you're so focused on that, that you don't see how beautiful you are. You need to say, "I am beautiful. I'm the best thing that ever happened to my husband. When he got me, he got a masterpiece. When he got me, I brought the favor of God into his life. He is blessed because of me. And my children would not even be here if it wasn't for me. I am awesome. I am wonderful. I am amazing. I am special. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made." You're not being arrogant. You're getting your mouth lined up so that God can bless your life. You're getting your mouth lined up with what God says about you and what God thinks about you. And your dreams will never come true until you learn how to do this. Now, and let me add this before I go. You see, I want to tell you women something, that if you go tell your husband, "I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful, I'm something special," you think he's going to say, "You think you're a crazy woman?" It's not what he's going to do at all. Here's what he's going to say. Say, never plant that you're not attractive to anyone, yourself, anyone else, but especially your husband. What you want your husband to think is how amazing you are, how beautiful you are, how attractive you are, how special you are. That's what you want your husband to say. Plant that into him. And so when you go and you say, "I'm amazing, I'm wonderful, I'm awesome, I'm beautiful," he's not going to say, "You crazy woman." What he's going to say is, "Yeah, baby, you are. In fact, baby, what you doing tonight? In fact, baby, what are you doing right now?" Listen, you're amazing. So I want to go into number four now. I've given you the first three thoughts that I wanted you to go out of here with. Number one, a blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken. You got to make it words. You got to form it into words and send it out there. Carriers that go forth and carry out there your blessing. Number two, your blessing needs to be praise and high praise and commendation of yourself. And three, your blessing needs to go out, and they need to be thought through words, fine discourse, polished language. Now, number four, a blessing is an invocation when we bless what we're doing, when we use our words in this way, they go forth and they invoke, they summon, they ask for, they bring forth, they petition for blessings in your life. That's what invoking means. Now, have you ever thought about why God changed people's names in the Bible? We know that when their names changed, their character changed, but before their character changed, their name changed. Their name changed first. And there's a lot of them. For example, Jacob, which means supplanter, it means deceiver, it means liar. His name was changed by God to Israel. And Israel means contender with God. And that's what he became. He became the nation of Israel. How about Solomon? Solomon's name was changed to Jedidiah. Jedidiah means beloved. And the whole book of Solomon is written about the beloved. We're pretty familiar with Simon, who Jesus changed to Peter, the rock. He says, I'm going to build on you. And he did. I'm going to build my church on you. James and John, Jesus changed their name to Barjonas, sons of thunder. He wanted them to go and thunder the message and thunder the gospel, and they did. So what I want us to see as I go into this is when we use our words correctly and we see ourselves as God sees us and we say about ourselves the way God sees us, then we invoke something out there into our future, into our destiny, and we're actually creating our eternity. Okay. We see this in the scriptures frequently. And especially the one that I really want to use because it's so clear is with Abram and Sarai. Now, most of you are familiar with their story. And I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 17. And here, what God is doing with Abram at the time is he's expanding his covenant. But here's what he says in verse 5 of Genesis 17. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. Because. Here's why I'm doing it. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, don't miss the for or the why. The name change, the reason that he's changing the name is to get Abram to see himself as God sees him, as Abraham. By so doing it, it will change his future. It will change his destiny. Abram means high father. And at the time, he was a father of Ishmael. And it did Ishmael bad. It was a bad situation. He says, but the way God sees me is Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude. He's going to change Abram's future by getting Abram to see himself the way God saw him. Now, in the next few verses, he's discussing there the covenant, and then he comes down to verse 15. Read this with me. God also said to Abraham, so now this is how God is already seeing him. He's already seeing him as the father of a multitude. He said to Abraham, as far as Sarai, your wife, now don't miss this, get this right here. You are no longer to call her Sarai. Abraham, never call her Sarai again. Abraham, no, let anybody else call her Sarai. Her name's not Sarai, her name is Sarah. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her. Now, who's he going to bless? Sarai or Sarah? Sarah. I will bless her. And conjunction, meaning that what he's just said, blessing Sarah, is conjuncted and connected with what he's about to say. and will surely give you a son by her. Your blessing, the dream that you want to have, Abraham, has got to be connected with her name changing and her seeing herself differently. If you want your dream to come true, which is also her dream, then you got to get her to see herself differently. And you got to see yourself differently. And will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her, Sarah, so that, here's why I want to bless her. She will be the mother of nations, kings and peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. And he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah, so he's already getting it, will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And he's laughing because this is so impossible. How many of you have got an impossible dream? How many of you think you're too old? How do you think of yourself? Change how you think of yourself. So, just like with Abram, Sarah's name would change. Her destiny would change. Her life would turn. The course would be set different. She would end up at a different port. She's changing now, but it's all according to, she's got to see herself the way God sees her. Now, Sarai means a dominative. She was a dominant woman. And Sarah means princess. Princess. She can no longer see herself as that dominant woman. She needed to start seeing herself as a princess. Her destiny was determined by it. Her dream would not come true unless she did. And she needed to stop seeing Abram as a high father and start seeing him as a father of a multitude. Now, I want to make sure that we got something here. You see, I think it's so important that he says, Abraham, don't you ever call her Sarai again. You gotta make sure that she's not called Sarai again. Abraham, you can't see her as your dominant wife. Abraham, you gotta see her as your princess. Your dream depends on it. You know, I got a couple of thoughts running around in here in my head, but you know, we want God's blessings, don't we? We want to do this stuff. We want to speak it out there into our future. We want God's blessings in our life, but sometimes we don't have them because of how we see other people, how we talk about other people. We don't see them the way God sees them. We don't talk about them the way God sees them. And we never get our dream. And this is especially true with your spouse. You're in this thing together. You dream together. You want to end up at the same port together. And it's so vitally important. We understand, we're starting to understand that words are so powerful and words are so creative, and that I need to see myself and say about myself what God sees and what God says. But it's also just as immediately important that you see other people and you talk about other people the way God sees them and what God says about them. I know that we all know the story, or we should know the story, about Abraham and Sarah. And at the time, it's Abram and Sarai. The name had not been changed when they come into the scriptures. And what the Lord had done is he had told them they would have children, or told Abraham they would have children. But years went by, and no child came. And now, Sarai is 90, and Abram is 100. And the time for bearing children is past for both of them. And it's impossible. Her womb is dead, dried up and dead. His loins are dead. Nothing's there. And in that culture and in those days, for a woman not to have a child was humiliating. The society humiliated her, and And people humiliated her, and she humiliated herself. Even if it was the husband's fault, the humiliation came on the woman. And so, one time she was so desperate to give her to have a child and to give Abraham a child, she dominantly had him to have a child with another woman named Hagar. And they had a child named Ishmael. It didn't work out well at all. So we can kind of understand the thoughts that Sarai was having about herself. She would think and she would say, I'm a failure. I'm inferior. Something's wrong with me. He had a child with her, but he can't have a child with me. It's me that's the problem. She was thinking, something's wrong with me. I'm a failure as a mother. I'm a horrible wife. I'm messed up. God doesn't like me. He made me wrong. And they would become bitter. And so what she was sending out, what she was summoning into her future, what she was invoking into her future was the same stuff. Bitter stuff, bad stuff, negative stuff. And so God changed her name from dominant woman to princess. No longer did she think, I'm a failure, I'm inferior, something's wrong with me. No longer did she think, I'm a horrible wife, I'm messed up. She began to say differently about her. I'm not dominant woman, I'm princess. Every morning when they would wake up, Abraham would say, good morning, princess. And she'd say, good morning, father of a multitude. Now, that would sound funny to start with, and they probably did giggle about it. You know, they probably did. But after a little while, and everybody calling her princess, good morning, princess. How are you today, princess? Hello, my name is princess. After going princess, princess, princess all day, year after year, and it took a couple of years, but doing this time after time, year after year, well, you know, one day... One day, good morning, princess, Abraham would have said. Well, good morning, father of a multitude. I'm beautiful. I'm special. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. And that womb, that dead, dried womb, came alive. Those dried up loins had some life in them. And Isaac was conceived. The impossible happened because he changed how they thought about themselves, and they got their mouths in line with how God saw them and what God said about them. You're not dominant woman, you're a princess. You're not high father, you're father of a multitude. And Isaac was conceived. Good morning, princess. Good morning, father of a multitude. I'm special, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful. Yes, you are, baby. What are you doing tonight? Isaac was conceived. The impossible took place. We read about it. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord was gracious to princess, as he had said, and the Lord did for princess what he had promised. And princess became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God promised him. Abraham gave the name of Isaac to the son princess bore him. Here's what I want you to hear me say. Your dreams hinge on how you see yourself and the words you speak. When you see yourself the way God sees you, and you talk about yourself with high praise, polished words, polished language, you send out an invocation You're summoning your dream to come true. It will happen. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how dried up you are. I don't care how impossible it seems might be. With your words, you create your destiny, even your eternity. Now you know that you can turn your life with your words. You know that your life obeys your words. You know. You now know. You set the course of your destiny with your words. You navigate life with your words. You get to the port you want to go to with your words. When you high praise, when you commend, when you polish up your language, when you talk about yourself with a fine discourse, not in a boasting, arrogant way, but when you allow that to become the power that propels and drives your life, drives your ship, I'm telling you, it's going to take you to where you want to go. See, by your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. Your words create your destiny today, your future tomorrow, and your eternity. That's the power, the creativity of your words. Let's pray.